Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we take our first look at the USB FlexCam from Wyan and discuss some of our favorite work-from-home gadgets. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, as you know, I have been working from home for a while now.
I think a lot of people have been working from home a lot.
Well, I think so too. And as I've been working from home, of course, I've started to find the need for hardware that I would not normally get to build that home office experience.
Well, and to make it the best that you possibly can so that they don't force you to come into the office.
Well, there is some of that. And some of it is, I'm not going to lie, that I don't feel like the equipment that you get, like the camera on your laptop, for example, is good enough. The sound from the speakers is not good enough. And as an enthusiast, maybe, that's the lens that I'm seeing that through, I find that I need products more like this little guy that I've got in my hand.
Now, I can see the item that you have in your hands because I gave it to you.
Woohoo!
But what do we have?
It's the, is it Yiyan?
I think it's Wyan. That's how I pronounce it.
Wyan is a company we've done some reviews for in the past, particularly, I think, a mouse and a keyboard.
Right. Well, and I should mention that they are a boutique PC builder, but instead of just making PCs, they also have personally branded products. And we talked about a couple of these before. I reviewed a gaming microphone set from them.
Oh, that's right.
And then we have a mouse and the FlexCam.
So this FlexCam intrigues me because, as I just mentioned, I have a pretty nice laptop, but the camera on it is just garbage. In fact, I don't like to be on camera at all because of it, but I'm intrigued by this little guy because it does some cool stuff that you don't know that you're missing.
Well, yes. And that's...
So I'm pulling it out here.
And the one thing I should mention about laptop cameras is that you have to have the screen at a certain openness to be able to see you. Mm-hmm. And when I work from home, I like to have the laptop closed because I have another monitor and a docking station set up. So I can't use that camera. Right. So I have to use an extra one.
Well, and I habitually just leave mine covered up because...
Because of security and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I work in health, which is probably vague, but it makes sense. So I'm always a little nervous about what's on my screen, what's on my desk, what's in my background, right, just because we want to keep that stuff protected. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this thing. Now, you know more about this than I do because I'm just getting my first look at it.
Well, this is, as we mentioned, the FlexCam. And it's a bit unique because it reminds me of a standard Logitech webcam.
Right. In fact, the lens looks very similar to the traditional.
Yeah. It has a microphone on board. The difference here, though, is that it has a ring light. And that's the one thing I really like about it.
Oh, that's what I'm seeing.
Is a halo light that goes around the lens. And as every cam girl will tell you, the halo light is the one that highlights your features the best.
Yeah. And doesn't keep you from having weird glare on your eyes, although sometimes you do see interesting light patterns.
Well, that's crazy.
I want to look at some of the features here because this light has three LED colors, it says. So I'm guessing that we have a soft light, a bright light, and then a, what is that, the yellow light, the reading light?
We'll
have to find it. So, of course, we'll have a review of this soon. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited also because this is a pretty high-resolution webcam. Uses HDR, QHD, they say, which is 2560 by 1440, which is pretty impressive for something this size.
Yeah. Well, and it's USB 3. And I did fire this up before we got on mic here. And there's a little dial right here. You feel that around the outside?
Oh, yeah. It feels like I'm using a traditional camera focus.
I thought that was a focus ring at first, but then when I plugged it in, that's what changes the light intensity.
Nice. So that's good. And I see a switch on the front here that looks like it lets me select between HDR and 2K at 30 frames per second. So you've got resolution switch on the fly.
Although when I was testing it, that turned the camera off. That was a physical block.
Oh, I see it. I mean, you can actually see it cover the lens. So it is actually, the label is just telling you the capacity of the camera. Yep. But you can block this like any good work from home user will their laptop camera.
Yep. You don't have to unplug it. You just flip the switch.
And I like that it's super visible. So at a glance, you can see, yep, it is definitely covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually changes the optic. It looks like a cat eye, and then all of a sudden it's open. It's pretty crazy.
Very cool. So this is kind of neat. We'll have a full review of this coming soon.
It might be up by the time this extra comes
out. Absolutely, because I'll be taking a look at this and giving it a nice workout with my reviews and my work over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I do want to mention before we go and put it back in the box is that it has the traditional mounting that will attach to the back of a laptop. So it swings open and it attaches itself to the screen.
Sure. Grabs it. Nice counterweight.
Or it will go on top of a monitor. We can put it on the podcast monitor if we wanted.
Right.
But it also has a threaded insert on the bottom. Ooh. So you can put it on a tripod.
Very nice.
Because I have a couple of small tripods that I use for webcamming on the test bench if I want to have a camera in a certain position. So I will go and put my camera, whatever it might be, on a small tripod and move it around wherever I want.
Now, you might get excited about a tripod, but I'm a little bit excited because it comes with a nice full-featured remote.
It's got a lot of buttons on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does.
So it's almost like a hardware device, but I'm sure there's some software that you'll need to install, much like with any webcam. But we have a remote that goes and controls a lot of those features.
Very fancy. Well, I think because it's hard to talk about a camera on a podcast and get excited about it, It might be a good opportunity to talk about some of the other fun toys, because you're working from home too,
yep,
that make working from home a little bit more comfortable, shall we say?
Well, yeah, because like I said, you want your office environment to be a lot like the office when you're there, but it needs to be through the eye of a camera and a microphone. So you need to have quality microphone, you need to have quality lighting, you need to have a quality camera.
Right.
But you also need to have your environment set up in a certain way. And I want to say that's something that you've been doing.
Right.
In your office.
Well, some things are obvious, right? Like you need to have a nice, comfortable chair if you're going to be sitting in front of your computer for 8 hours plus doing conference calls and the like. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that's kind of obvious. Everybody will have a chair that they like. And we've talked about this, I think, before. And so I'm just going to very briefly say it's probably not that gaming chair that's being advertised on Facebook.
Yeah. You want to advertise you got the Recarlo, but you don't want to show everybody at the office that you are a gamer by night.
Absolutely. Well, and I want something that's a little more comfortable, full leather. So I went with a Serta chair, you know, an actual made by a furniture company chair myself.
Oh, yeah. And see, I'm old school, showing my age a little bit. I still have the Herman Miller, the Aeron chair.
Great chairs.
That's an awesome chair, and it's lasted forever, super comfortable. I love it.
Well, and that's a pretty sought-after chair used also. I've worked with that one in the past, but I've gotten kind of lazy. I need that big fat pad on mine to keep me comfortable during the day.
There's something to be said about actually laying back and feeling like you're in bed.
You should have a great desk, sit stand perhaps. I don't, but I like the slide out monitor tray. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an obvious one that you should look into too. But when we start talking about toys, I think is when people get a little interesting.
Yes.
Now, I have a couple of things that I cannot live without that I would have never guessed that I needed.
Well, do tell. What do we got?
Well, the first is a sound bar, if you will, a speaker system from CyberAcoustics. And I did a review on this way back in November of 22. And at the time I thought, well, this is kind of one of those things that, yeah, maybe I'll find some use for when I travel. Mm-hmm. And it has become my daily driver. It is the CA2890BT. And it, much like this camera, you can clip it right on the top of your laptop. I particularly like the large feet. You'll see this in the review because I can cover the camera that's on my laptop with those feet.
Oh, now that's dual purpose right there.
Which is pretty nice. It sounds really great. I've got on top mute and volume controls. It's USB. It sounds great. So, you know, I can close the door. I can have a conference call where I don't have to wear headphones all day. I have really great headphones, Dennis, and I love them for conference calls, but I spend so much time on the phone, I just get sick of having something on my head. So this is my solution.
Well, and it has a built-in microphone.
Yes.
And then two speakers. So you kind of get pseudo stereo sound out of it. It just kind of amplifies the soundstage.
It's not an expensive toy, and it is so much better. So much better than even your premium laptops have.
Well, that's true. I mean, because anytime you can replace what crappy stuff is in the laptop, it's good. And since you have this separate from your main machine, that's why you need to have a soundbar like this. Otherwise, you could be using that subwoofer that we built for the YouTube channel.
And yes.
Some other really good speakers
it
that we...
might be interesting to hear some of my teammates with pounding bass.
nice.
So that's probably the one that I've had the longest on my desk that would maybe surprise folks. But more recently, I discovered, if you will, a new desk toy that I never knew existed or really never knew that I needed. So I had a problem where I have a corner desk.
Yep.
And during the brightest part of the day, I close the shades in the room and it gets kind of dark.
Well, that's what shades are supposed to do.
Well, of course.
And you probably have the blackout shades. They're really good.
Oh, yep. Got to have the blackout shades. Maybe mm-hmm. that's a nice hot tip too.
Yeah.
Is you don't want the light bleed behind you. You get a weird halo effect if you have to be on a camera, and it's not good even if you use that artificial background that, you know, every webcam software uses.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if you have the halo behind you and you're doing the background, it doesn't actually work. And all it does is really just makes your face really dark.
No, it's so bad. I look like I glow. I don't know. Maybe it's an angelic thing. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the better way to think about it.
But I was reading one of these, I guess, gift guides for what you should get your geek friends. And one of them mentioned this monitor lighting system from BenQ. Oh. So BenQ, of course, is a manufacturer of
all sorts of crazy stuff.
Many things, but this thing's called the BenQ Screen Bar Halo LED Monitor. And there are two versions of it, Dennis. Mm-hmm. What they call the Pro model, I guess. And then they have kind of a basic model. And the Pro model is the one everybody recommends, but it costs right now.
Yeah.
$179 for a desk lamp.
And that's from Amazon with Prime shipping.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, there are sometimes coupons that will bring the price down. But...
oh, yeah. If you get the Visa card, they will give you $50 off because they will get it in the end.
So, Dennis, looking at this thing, it does something very cool. It sits on top of your monitor. Uh-huh. It's got an adjustable angle, and it fires light down on the work surface in front of you where your keyboard and mouse would be, or, you know, where you're trying to take notes, that sort of stuff, your workspace.
Oh, yeah.
And what? Then it fires a backlight behind, which gives you that soft effect of like when you have LEDs on the back of your TV. Now, I'm not going to lie. I feel like every premium monitor should have backlighting included, but that hasn't happened yet.
No. Well, and that backlighting, while it looks cool, when you have a camera pointed at your face that's on your monitor, that backlight will reflect and make a more natural appearance to you, now, which is a very side benefit of that.
Absolutely. Now, I have on my TV LED lights in the background, and I don't have the premium ones that interact with the video, although I sure wish I did. But I found that, especially when I have low light and I'm watching movies or whatever on my TV, it's really nice for my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this thing.
There's a lot of YouTubers out there that do the LEDs and then do like this blue and purple in the background. And it's supposed to be all soothing. It looks great, but it's like, it's just LED lights. What the heck?
So I couldn't justify $180.
Of course.
So I started looking at what's the best rated cheap version. And I found, I'm going to recommend it to you.
Okay.
I found a cheapie from a company called Quintis, Quintis, called the Quintis Monitor Light RGB Pro.
I'm going to put an affiliate link to this light bar in the show notes below. If you click on it and make a purchase, that helps us out.
And there is also a regular version of it. Now, what I liked best about this one is the Pro is only $43. And regularly, there are coupons. I paid 20% less than that.
So, oh, whoa.
So if you're interested, keep watching. And then the basic model is only $32. And then, of course, if you have Amazon, free shipping. But I actually kind of like the RGB Pro maybe better than that expensive BenQ because it has backlighting that's RGB and it's temperature. So you have a whole bunch of different versions of LEDs. You can have single colors or multiple colors, and it uses a simple toggle. There's no software. It just plugs mm-hmm. in via USB
right.
for power.
Well, it says it's got 15 modes, so I'm assuming you have like the rainbow mode, then you could do the individual colors, and then different intensities of white.
Yeah, I think there's, well, there's fast and slow, and, you know, so anyway, what I find is most often I just use the really slow pulsing colors in the background. And what's maybe the best part of it is it does that same front lighting, so it drops light in the front, and it has three color temperatures and three different brightness levels. So you can have the what I call the daylight, the 6500 color spectrum, which is super bright. And if your eyes start to get fatigued, you just drop it down to your 4K. And if you're doing reading and stuff where you need a soft light, which I know some people prefer, it does 3K also. Wow. And it's not as good a mount as on this awesome flex cam, sadly, but it works pretty well. And I've got it stuck on my monitor. So I have two monitors stacked. It's on the higher monitor, and it drops down on my space. Doesn't glare on the screen, which is great because of the angle.
Right.
I get really good color when I'm working. And the controls of it are just buttons on the left and right side. Only downside of buying this much cheaper version is it doesn't actually have a way to turn it off that I have found.
Oh.
So when I'm done with it for the day, if I want to shut it off completely, I just unplug it and plug it back in and then turn it back on with the side buttons the next day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the side button that showed in the video is probably just to change the colors.
Yep, the two toggles. And I'm convinced if the book was not maybe a foreign translation, there's probably some way I can double click it or push both buttons at the same time or something to turn it off. But I couldn't find it in the book, Dennis. Oh, so
maybe it's a press and hold or something.
Someday I will figure it out, but right now it's just as easy to just unplug it and plug it back in when I need it again.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. So this would really replace like a desk lamp, and does it unobtrusively because it's attached to the top of your monitor.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't know I needed it, and now I don't know how I ever lived without it.
Oh, well, and I mentioned a desk lamp because I've had, you know, these fancy little desk lamps that I purchased back when I was in architecture school because I needed to have light on my work surface. And I still have them. I don't use them very often, but the light is so far back that I can turn it on and all it is like ambient light. It doesn't give me any light on my workspace. Whereas something like this, all of a sudden, hey, now I can actually use my workspace and it's not taking up space in the corner. That's pretty awesome.
I would recommend this thing to anybody. Now, of course, time will tell whether saving a little money going with an off-brand was the right decision. Mm-hmm. But for now, at least, I'm super thrilled with the money I saved and the functionality.
Right. So did you have a different light before? I think you had like a ring light or something that you did for phone conferences.
Yeah, I tried a ring light and I found that it was really bulky and I couldn't find a good place to mount it. I tried a tripod. Mm. I bought, and I think you've seen this, an LED bank that does similar functionality. It's a little rechargeable USB one.
Oh yeah, just that light bar sort of thing.
So I've been through quite a few solutions, bought a couple of desk lamps, found that I just didn't have the space for them. Mm. And I was actually, honestly, looking for one of those really tall corner LED lamps that have been advertised all over Facebook, thinking maybe I could just use reflective light. But the ones that I wanted were crazy expensive, and I couldn't justify it.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. So far, though, everything that you have has been working pretty well, though.
Love it. Just love it. But there must be some toys that you have, too, Dennis.
Well, I don't have the same demands that you do in terms of talking on Zoom and whatnot all the time. But there is a device from CyberAcoustics that I reviewed that is really a game changer in terms of those calls that I really do need to make. Because when I'm doing calls, I am interacting with my screen. So I need to be able to look at my camera and then also look at the screen so I can drive people around what it is I'm trying to convey. I do a lot of presentations, as you can tell. So I have the CyberAcoustics Essential Webcam Flex.
Ah, now, another nice webcam.
Now, this webcam is a little different because it mounts to the top of your monitor. But unlike a traditional monitor, like the FlexCam from Wyan, which has the same name, ironically enough.
Oh, yeah.
This one is on a boom arm. It will normally be on top of your monitor. And if you slide the boom arm out and push it down, now all of a sudden the camera is in the middle of your monitor. It's kind of blocking what you want to see, but I have two screens. So I just put it right in the middle. And the camera is now perfectly in line with my face, so I'm not looking up or down, and I can stare at the screen at the same time.
Very nice.
It also will allow you to, and I don't use it very often, but I can pull the boom arm out and rotate the camera so that it looks straight down. So like with your light situation where you're illuminating your work surface, this camera will look at my work surface. So I can have drawings in front of my keyboard and I can just put the camera down and then point with my real fingers and say, well, we have this over here, and if we do this, we can move it over here. And at that point, I'm sketching. But I'm physically sketching because I'm more comfortable with markers and pens and stuff than trying to spend a few hours to draw it in Illustrator so I can show them a picture.
Well, yeah, and you could sort of do the virtual whiteboard thing, right? So you can do your brainstorming and your design work all with people watching it real time. I think that's kind of cool.
I never thought that a camera like this would be that beneficial. But once I started using it for Zoom calls and whatever, it's like it's night and day because normally I would have to take I use a Logitech camera. I would put it on a box because it sits under my monitors. I would put it on the box to lift it up. And then I would have everything I need to interact with as close as I could to that camera. But I found myself looking down. And in the background, you know, you can blur it out, but the background is looking back at my motherboard stack, which is close to the ceiling right behind me. And that's not necessarily very professional. But if I can move the camera slightly into the middle of the screen, then it's more level and I can have things behind me that are less obtrusive.
Excellent. Well, that's a really cool product that does something a little different from a traditional webcam. So I'm kind of impressed.
Now, those of you who are wanting to know more about these products that we're talking about, check the show notes on hardwareasylum.com and I will have affiliate links to everything that we can possibly link to. Now, I have one last item that is, it's essential for the home user.
Okay.
And it's going to be, the name of this item is a little weird because it doesn't match anymore, but it's a docking station.
Oh, and I think I know where you're going with this. Everybody's got to have a docking station, but I wonder if some of our younger listeners know why it's called a docking station.
Well, let's do a little history. Maybe I'll introduce some music here, but basically laptops of the older generation, they were self-contained, much like laptops now. You had a screen, you had keyboard, and you had drives and stuff like that. But the keyboard was garbage. It was really hard to type on. The screen was really, really small. And a lot of users said, hey, we need to be able to get other things plugged in. So then laptop manufacturers started putting VGA ports on the back or keyboard ports and mouse ports and stuff like that. So you could plug in other devices. Well, that meant that every time you got to your destination, you had to plug in all of this stuff. So they created a docking station. And on certain laptops on the bottom, there was this card edge and a bunch of pins, basically. You'd slide it into the docking station, and then everything that you use was plugged into that station. So all you had to do was just plug in your laptop, and it would give it power and charge it and stuff like that. And then you would magically be given your keyboard, mouse, and your monitors with the laptop off to the side. You could even close the lid. You didn't need to mess with it at all.
I feel like that was kind of core to the move to make laptops smaller and more portable and lighter, which is, of course, where we ended up today. Mm-hmm. Because back when we all needed all these external drives and devices and things, you didn't want to tote those around with you. So you needed also docking stations that would have, storage devices in them even. In some cases, they'd be big, heavy things with actual drive bays for, your CD-ROMs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and we're talking about the laptops in what I'm calling the soft era, because portable computers, even before that, were nothing more than a full computer that you carried around.
Oh, like a little suitcase. Yeah. That's right.
And they had a CRT monitor and a keyboard, and you would carry that with you. You would have business guys going onto the plane. You couldn't check it under the plane, so they would go and put it as luggage in the overhead. And it was a much bigger affair. And as laptops and portables got smaller, they became less usable, which is why, docking stations kind of came around. Now, moving forward, these docking stations, they were very specific to a certain manufacturer. So you would have you would have a docking station for an HP laptop that would be different than a docking station for a Dell laptop.
And sometimes generational too. Your HP docking station wouldn't work for the next generation of laptops.
Oh yeah, that was the worst. Because these docking stations were, in the enterprise at least, they were almost required. It's like you gave your employee a laptop and you would get a docking station at the office. And then you might, if you're lucky, you might get one at home, but not likely. So nowadays though, with the advent of USB-C and DisplayPort over USB-C and...
what's that? Thunderbolt technology for your Apple users.
Yeah, and it's Thunderbolt is the other one. They all use kind of the same connector. Well, you can now have a docking station that plugs into your USB-C port. It will drive the docking station, your keyboard, mouse, multiple monitors, Ethernet, audio, and USB, because it's got... it has hub multipliers inside the device all over this one port. And you just take your laptop, you plug it in, close the lid. And a lot of times the docking station has a power switch that can turn it on and off, but it basically just magically transfers everything from that laptop device to your desk.
And most amazingly, the drivers are probably already built into Windows, which is even crazier because it's a traditional USB hub.
Yep.
And some of them even, like the new ones that we have, will carry enough power that you don't even necessarily need to plug in your laptop. It just takes power over the USB-C on the more modern devices.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that we kind of alluded to is that these devices now are universal. So, for instance, you can get an HP laptop and you can get a docking station from HP. It'll have that USB-C connector, but you could plug that into a Dell laptop or into an Acer laptop. The idea is that the docking station is now this own USB device. It just happens to be branded and purchased from HP. Well, I have a couple of devices that I've reviewed on Hardware Asylum from Cyber Acoustics, which are purpose-built docking stations. Now, I have one that supports triple monitors, which is amazing, and I have another one that supports dual monitors. Personally, I'm a dual monitor person, but the triple monitor edition was the highlight of the review, and everyone that saw it is like, hey, a laptop with three monitors? What the heck?
Yeah, how cool is that? Well, you know, if you have the means, right?
Yeah. Now, the importance of a docking station from working from home is it's night and day, because as you know, you can type on your laptop keyboard with your small screen.
Oh, okay. So bad.
Yeah, it's just not a very pleasant experience. And if you have to write a lot like me or do designs, you want to have comfort. And that is where you can have your full-size keyboard, you can have your good mouse, you can have your large monitor available to you and still have all of that connectivity into the laptop so you can do your VPN into the office and so on and so forth. And then, of course, if you need to have a webcam, you just plug it into the USB port, and boom, you're on top.
Well, I feel like we talked a lot over the years about how computers should be getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and yet somehow it just seems to not be happening. Well, but at least in the laptop space, right? Yeah. Thanks to docking stations, you can get smaller and lighter and better laptops from all the major manufacturers.
Yeah, and you can still use your high-end gaming monitors and whatnot. So, for instance, you can have... they still make KVMs. Did you know that?
Yeah, and USB switches too.
Now, KVMs were really popular with what we call now retro computers, because you didn't have a way of being able to switch from one PC to the other and still use the same monitor, keyboard, and mouse. And that's really what the KVM is. It's a keyboard video, which is monitor and mouse. And it's a switch. So you have one set of devices plugged in, and then you have that going to multiple computers. So that way you can switch in between. They still make these things, and now you can have them going over DisplayPort with USB, and it allows you to hook up more than one monitor and then choose which computer goes to what monitor, and then with one set of keyboard and mice so that you can switch around. You just click a button and it's like, okay, now I'm on computer one. You can do some stuff. Go to computer two, do some stuff. It's a little extreme for a home office, but in the enterprise space, if you're working in a data center or something, that is amazing. Now, while that functionality allows you to link up more than one computer, you can have that hooked into your laptop, but then you just need to have your docking station hooked into the KVM, And all of a sudden it's plugged into this big, huge network of moving stuff around.
Well, I think to me, the docking station is one of those things that you just have to have. It's assumed you probably can get a cheap one with your laptop, but the aftermarket ones like that triple monitor one is especially intriguing. We'll link to that one. Having two good monitors or one nice widescreen monitor is great. And, you know, even now we're moving into the zone where you'll be able to buy external video card devices and hook them up. So,
well, yeah, they become more affordable. That's for sure.
So at this point, really, your laptop is just the core that makes it all happen if you have a good docking station.
Now, of course, these are just a few of the items that we use on a daily basis, and I'm sure there's others out there. So if there's one that we missed and you want to let us know, leave a note down in the comments below or send us an email. Drop by our social medias. You know how to get a hold of us. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2024. Thanks for listening.